Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Puckle!
Puckle.
And welcome to the reincarnation of Puckle Live. I am Thatch, and joined today with me here are two patrons, because the Patreon live show is where you get to hear from your from Puckle's patrons. And if you want to be on the show as well, all you have to do is go to patreon.com/PucklePodcast to become a member, because the patrons are what make us do pretty much everything here at Puckle, or allow us to do everything here at Puckle, like have prizes, be able to host tournaments, host PuckleCon if we have to host it on our own. And because of the patrons, we're allowed to do that, get a lot of cool microphone equipment and stuff like that. So I do want to thank both of you, both you, Tendelman, and Dennis, for being here today, because I'm pretty much just going to do an extended hour-long interview with you today.
Oh, sounds fun.
You're going to tell me your life stories.
Oh.
And at the same time, I'm going to build a Little Cup team, because we have the Little Cup Battle Clinic immediately following the show.
Yeah, I was gonna say, welcome to the new episode of Battlecast with special guest patrons, while we talk about Little Cup.
Absolutely not what's gonna happen, but welcome to the show. If you're listening to this, this is, like I said, this is the show where you can be on it yourself if you patron the Puckle Podcast and stuff like that. So let's just jump right into it, though. So we have 10 Little Men and Dennis the Mimikyu Maniac, both of which I've already said before previously. So I think 10 Little Men, you've been on these before, but none of them have actually made it to the iTunes feed. Or the podcast.
Been viciously censored.
You've
up
been
until
viciously
now.
Censored, mostly because Canadians are a pretty hot topic here in the United States right now. Really bad joke. So why don't you let everybody know who you are, what your name is, and how you found Puckle, and what your favorite Pokemon is. You got all
okay.
That?
Yeah, sure. Let me just grab out my pen and paper to write all this down.
Yeah.
So I am 10 Little Men, in case you haven't caught it the first six times. I've found Puckle, I guess, about 4 years ago. I found it like slightly before the first ever PuckleCon.
Okay.
That was 4 years ago. Yeah. And I was just at work being like, wow, I am super bored. What can I do? For my job, all I did was paint truck frames. It was the most insufferable thing until I went on iTunes and looked up Pokemon. And there I found quite a few Pokemon podcasts, and then one Pokemon podcast that was actually bearable. And thus, I became a fan of Puckle.
Wow.
And
riveting story.
Oh, yeah. Truly the most engaging way to find the podcast. I looked in the app for Pokemon. First episode I listened to was the episode about the Pokemon Adventures manga. Part three when?
Solid question. So, like, what is part three, by the way? It has been so long since we've done it that I don't remember what part three is.
Okay. So, I mean, you've done the red and blue. That's the First one, yes. I listened to. Then I think you guys have covered Yellow twice now.
Cool.
Or something like that. Yeah, so you've never actually gotten into Gold and Silver.
That will change. I just actually got the hard copies of Gold and Silver. And yeah. The real struggle with Gold and Silver is that Gold and Silver manga, if you go to find the translations online, the translations are just so mixed between the English version and the Japanese, like translated Japanese and English version. Like, for those of you who are manga fans, you should understand this, because what that means is one of them will read right to left and the other one will read left to right. And on top of that, you have a lot of name changes that go on, because in Japan, green is blue and blue is green. And most of the time you don't understand who they're referencing. And on top of that, the Pokemon nicknames sometimes get really lost in the translations. And no, that definitely annoys me. And I can't keep consistent, like, oh man, which Pokemon is he actually using? I just can't. It is just the most frustrating thing in the world.
I'd probably like the Gold and Silver Pokemon Adventures manga a lot more if I read the physical versions first and didn't tactically read it online for free, dubiously legally.
I agree with that. No, I incredible. Like, first of all, that manga is so expensive to buy hardcover.
It's very cheap in Canada.
You can buy me manga.
I can buy like the entire seasons for like $40 Canadian. So like
$2 American. Yeah.
Oh,
I'm kidding. That's not actually the exchange rate, Dennis.
Not yet.
I was getting excited. I was going to jump the border. I'm like four hours drive from Canada right now. Actually, no, I'm 2 hours and a half from Canada.
Okay.
I just need to find a visit store.
So Dennis, it's your turn now to answer these questions. People want to know who you are. How'd you find Puckle, and what's your favorite Pokemon that Ten Little Men didn't answer?
I'm Dennis, a Mimikyu maniac. Don't be misled by Mimikyu. I love all ghosts, dark and dragon types. Equally, when I start Puckle, joining Puckle, I was actually Dennis, a DDG maniac. DDG, I think. Ghetto.
Hello.
Hello, Dennis.
Hello.
Did we lose him?
No. I'm
Hello,
here.
Hello, Dennis. Okay, keep going.
Okay.
Oh. That was weird.
Keep going, Dennis.
I started listening to Puckle on episode 187, which I don't remember what
I don't remember what that was either. How do you know 187? That's a very specific
number. I'm just going to say, that sounds like a pretty good time to get into Puckle. Roughly that's around the there.
Wait. Before we continue, is 180? Is this now a bad time to get into Puckle?
Oh no! Now is definitely a better time.
Okay,
I'm gonna
say
best time to get into Puckle probably post XY.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I remember the episode because I was walking to one of my psychology college exams, which I was listening to the episode while doing the exam.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I remember 187.
Interesting. I'm going to find out what 187 is for you. Okay. But what's your favorite Pokemon?
I started emailing that. The podcast at 197 and won the Green Turtles at 200 episode.
Wow.
I think I sent in my first email at 198.
Yeah.
You have so much in common.
We pretty much started 4 years ago on Poco before the PocoCon, which I remember because it was the day of my birthday, ironically, when it was happening. I was so frustrated.
Oh, 187 was the episode that we had the VGC guy on. Okay, continue.
And shit.
Okay, so Dennis, the Mimikyu maniac. What is your favorite Pokemon?
That's the question.
I forgot the roll there, and now I'm coming back. Each day it changes, but today is Sableye.
Okay, so it's not Mimikyu. Your name is very misleading.
Yes, remember, I started here being the DDG maniac.
Okay.
Dark Dragon Ghost maniac. But,
Mimikyu is the Dark Dragon Fairy.
No.
Okay, are you ready for some rapid-fire interview questions?
Oh.
Are you ready for this? Okay, so this is, we're going to do 10 Little Men first, and then, Dennis, you can think of your answers at the same time. We'll come back around.
It's 10 Little Men. You have to interview 10 Little Men before coming to me.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. Yeah. So here we go. Here we go, 10 Little Men. Are you ready? So first of all, answer the question, what's your favorite Pokemon?
It's got to be Meganeton. I feel a sense of kinship with its plurality.
With its plurality. I feel like there has to be another Pokemon like that.
I'd say Dugtrio is also really great. Tragically banned.
I love that Gen 1 was just like, you know what would be great if this Pokemon just evolved into the three of itself. All right, so next question. What's your favorite type?
Oh, God. I mean, I guess, gun to my head, I had to choose one. It'd probably be Steel. Just because that's the type I repped in Summer League.
Okay, that's fair. What was your first Pokemon game? Go.
First Pokemon game that I played or that I watched an older sibling play?
Both answers.
Because if my memory's right, my brother played Pokemon Red and I looked over his shoulder playing. My first Pokemon I ever caught was a Diglett because he'd let me use Pidgeotto in Diglett's cave because there's no way even my 2-year-old brain could mess that up. Then the first game I actually played was Pokemon Silver.
Pokemon Silver. Okay. What is your favorite Pokemon game? That's the next question.
The best Pokemon game, definitely hands down, Pokemon Channel, but not counting spinoffs.
So, like, you have to be wrong. Like, that's a joke, right? Like,
yeah. But no, my favorite Pokemon game is probably Pokemon Ruby, just because of the sheer number of hours I've pumped into that game. If it wasn't my favorite, that's a bad sign.
Okay. That's fair. Okay, Bulbasaur, Charmander, and Squirtle are on a table in front of you. You need to choose one now, or Professor Oak's going to get shot in the head. Which one do you pick?
Well, I mean, you've given me 4 valid options here.
Oh, God.
But no, you got to go with Bulbasaur so that way you can win.
And he gets
assuming Mega Evolution's on the table, you just win.
That's fair. Okay. Favorite TM?
Oh, favorite TM. Oh, that's such a difficult question. I think I have to say Ice Beam. Wait, no, let's go back to older gens. Favorite TM is Bubble.
Bubble.
Because
was Bubble a TM or was it only Bubble Beam?
Both, I think.
I know Water Gun and Bubble Beam.
Oh, it was Water Gun, not Bubble.
I think it was Water Gun and Bubble Beam, not Bubble.
Oh, yeah. Water Gun's a pretty solid TM.
The Water Gun is a pretty solid TM.
But no, I'd say Ice Beam, probably.
Okay. And then finally, favorite spinoff game. And why is it Pokemon Channel? I'm kidding. What's your favorite spinoff game?
Favorite. So, about. This is a very difficult question, but I think I'm going to go with Pokemon Pinball Ruby and Sapphire.
That's not a terrible choice, actually.
I have a game currently ongoing, and its point total is very high. So I think I've gotten 4 times greater than the initial high score.
So as a general gamer, it has a fun bit of trivia because Pokemon Pinball Ruby and Sapphire was the only game that got Game Boy Player exclusive compatibility in that. Because if you ever played the original Pokemon Pinball, it has its own built-in rumble pack in the cartridge. And Pokemon Pinball Ruby and Sapphire didn't have an obviously built-in rumble pack. But if you plug it into the Game Boy Player on the GameCube controller actually rumbled.
Oh, that's great.
In conjunction with the game.
I have played that game on GameCube Player, but I guess I never realized that other games would not have the rumble function.
Yeah, it's a really weird thing. It's the only game that does it. It's really weird.
The more you know.
Yeah, fun fact. Okay, Dennis, we're coming to you now.
All right.
You ready? Right. Rapid fire, let's go. What's your favorite type? You have to pick one, not 3.
Those.
Okay, done. What was your first Pokemon game, Dennis?
Pokemon Yellow, actually.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, my second game, ironically, was Pokemon Crystal.
Hmm.
Third one was Sapphire because Emerald didn't come even
fast enough. Yeah.
Fast enough to get me to the third version.
What was your favorite Pokemon game?
Pretty much Gen 3.
There, just Gen 3? The entirety of Gen 3?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's the best gen, so...
That's debatable, but like we can talk about that later.
7.8.
Okay.
Too much water.
Dennis, Bulbasaur, Charmander, and Squirtle are all on a table in front of you, and you need to choose one now, or Professor Hook gets shot in the head. What do you pick?
I'm sorry, Touch, but I'll take the chance for the last one to see if I can get a gen.
No, there's nothing.
He's going for his ghost type.
No, that's not happening. You have to choose one of the three.
Okay. I'm sorry, Oak. Squirtles?
Squirtle? Is that just, okay.
Yes.
All right. And then favorite TM.
Oh, I don't really remember if Curse was a TM before.
It might have been.
Oh, it was.
It definitely was.
It was a TM in Gen 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk to the guy at the top of the spooky house in Celadon.
The spooky house.
The spooky house.
Spooky. All right.
So and then is,
favorite spin-off game.
Spin-off game. Ooh. Pokemon Conquest?
That's the right answer. So
what a cop-out.
So you win.
No. Here's the thing. From most spin-off games, Rumble, meh. Okay. Pinball, I never liked Pinball, so Conquest.
Oh. So we're going to...
Dungeons.
We're gonna chime in to the Twitch chat here as we come to this break in your guys' personal interviews about your life and Pokemon and everything. We're going to break in. So welcome to Viger, who dropped us 100 bits, and he also used his Twitch Prime, or he subscribed at Tier 1 for a second month, so yay to Viger. So
yay.
Everybody wave hi to Viger. Also, Orange Avenger dropping those 3 bits in there with his, I don't even know what that emote is, that's fine. And he says, you guys are spooky.
Spooky.
Yep. All right. I'm just driving into the chat. You guys can always jump in whenever you want and say whatever you want. We'll get to your questions and your follow-ups. With that going on, I don't know what else to talk to you guys about other than Pokemon.
Oh, we got something new coming into chat about how Gen 5 is the, I'm sorry, I don't have my glasses on, Smest gen or something? I don't know.
The best gen. That was a really bad attempt to like make another word.
No, like, see, I was thinking maybe it said best, but I was like, that just doesn't sound right. Gen 5 best gen. That's so clearly wrong. I thought I was looking at it wrong.
I mean, if we want to say like, I think we can objectively say Gen 5 was probably not the best gen. I think Gen 5 had unique things about it that made it different. I don't think it can be claimed as the best because, hands down, I think it had the worst sales number of any Pokemon generation.
It did.
And that's not saying that Black and White 2 were bad, but it was legitimately because they really just messed up Gen 5.
If somebody told me that Black and White 2 were the best games, I'd be like, hey, that's a fair opinion. Black and White 2 are legitimately great. My problems fall more on how the gen started off.
Yeah, like, keep going.
Black and White are fun, but you can't even catch a Pikachu. That's not a Pokemon game.
Yes, they are the only games that you cannot catch Pikachu in. It was awful. Not to mention, like Gio just said, the grind is absolutely awful as well.
Oh, God. The grind was unreal when you have to add Audino.
So let's just list some sales numbers real quick. So Pokemon Red, Green, and Blue in Japan, obviously sold like 30, or I guess just Red, Green, and Blue in general, in 1996, and Ink and Yellow, they sold a combined 59.52 million units. Gold, Silver,
pretty respectable.
Gold and Silver on their own sold 23.1 million units. Ruby and Sapphire sold 16.2 million units. So like you can see like the downward decline. Granted, I think any video game franchise would be like, man, we only hit 16 million units. And I think they'd be okay with that.
You can tell it was the early 2000s.
Yeah. Then 2006, Diamond and Pearl brought back Pokemon to 17.67 million units. And then they were just like, oh yeah, by the way, we're going to do a soft reboot of Pokemon and we're going to do Gen 5. and Black and White sold 15.64 million units. Womp, 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 womp.
Joe Chad.
Yeah, and then after that, Black and White 2 sold 8.52 million units. And I think
that's sad.
I think Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon legitimately almost, they're very close to passing Black and White as of the new numbers that just were released.
So Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon?
Yeah, Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon are beating Black and White 2, I think, are very close.
Wow.
To yeah, which is really sad. Because
then again, popular opinion is that Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon should have been the first games to be released. Instead of just
I agree with that, but the problem is like they're still not great sales numbers for releasing two versions, because like let's look back at the last time that only one version was released as like the what's the word I'm looking for? Were released as the third version, right? So Pokemon Platinum was the last time we got like a third version game, and that sold 7.6 million units. And that on its own, that's one game. One game sold 7.6 million units. Black and White 2 sold 8.52. So like it increased by like a little bit.
Mm, yeah, and that's with the boost from all the nerds.
Yeah,
buying two copies, because like, who would do that?
That's legitimately probably the only. That's probably the only reason it's there is because of the nerds that bought two copies.
Yeah,
that's probably why. Like looking at that, that's probably why. Because Black and White 2 were good though. Like I would say, Black and White 2 were good games, and I thought they were a good follow up to Black and White. They redeemed Black and White, so they had a chance. They had a chance in Gen 7.
Black and White 2 are incredible games because you can catch Dunsparce. Like before the first gym, basically. Where do you go wrong there? Games are almost flawless.
Well, not only that, they just brought back like a lot of they did what Diamond and Pearl did somewhat well, which was Diamond and Pearl were just like, oh hey, let's integrate all these Pokemon that you know are from older generations in the beginning of the story, which I think everybody enjoys having like a familiar face, right?
Yeah.
Nope.
And I think they did a really good job there. Black and White, I think Nintendo didn't realize how they couldn't do a soft reboot. And anytime I hear that there's going to be a soft reboot from like rumors or quote unquote leaks,
that's not happening.
You can always just discount that because Black and White did so abysmal compared to the rest of the Pokemon franchise that they will never try that again. Like absolutely never try that again because it just did so poorly. I mean, 16 million is about where you want like a main series game to go. And that's where X and Y have gone. They've gone 16.34 and 16.13, respectively, which is really good.
Yeah.
I mean, those are solid numbers. So they're doing pretty well. They're doing pretty well. Same with, I mean, Let's Go, if we want to talk about that for a second. 10 million units so far. That's
really good for what it is.
For what
on
it
such
is.
Such a new console.
So the difference with Let's Go is I think every other Pokemon game is kind of like a slow burn. Like you get obviously that peak release date, but then you get a nice slow burn of people buying it. Let's Go, I don't think is going to have that. I don't think they're going to have the slow burn. I think they're going to just get the one shot and then it's pretty much done.
I feel like there still will be a slow-ish burn, but only until the new games come out.
It's going to be a trickle. That's my answer. It's going to be a trickle. Only because Let's Go kind of depends on one singular mechanic, which is motion controls, and it forces you to repetitively use those motion controls. I think it's a really cool gimmick for like the first like 3 weeks you're playing it, and then after that you're just like, oh, this is all this game is.
No, pretty much. Yeah. It's just console style Pokemon Go.
Yeah, and I don't think that has the longevity of something like a traditional Pokemon game, which is good for people like Scrawn.
Yeah.
You're right, Gio. Gio says Let's Go doesn't entice me. I only want to play main series Pokemon games. Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you. Let's Go, I think a lot of people only played because they wanted something on the Switch. I don't think Let's Go, I think I said this on the show. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think Let's Go is repeatable. I don't think the success that Let's Go is seeing is repeatable in any kind of, in any fashion. Because let's just lay it out here first. One, Let's Go was the first Pokemon game on the Switch. Like, first main series, in quotes, Pokemon game on the Switch. So that builds up hype in and of itself. Second, it's Pokemon Go, right? It's the first time they're kind of like connecting Pokemon Go to a main series Pokemon game. That's a big deal for Go players, right? The third thing going for it is that they are also doing the what's it called? It's also Kanto, right?
More Gen 1 love.
So more Gen 1 love, building the nostalgia. None of this is repeatable.
My prediction for the future of the Let's Go series is probably that they continue to release them like every games, but they'll sell like 7 million units.
I agree with you. I don't think they're going to do nearly as well as they. I also think that the gimmick is just not there. Here's another interesting topic.
If they go to do a Gen 2 Pokemon Go, it's going to be Let's Go Togepi, Let's Go Marill.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. But I think that so another topic that I think we should go on. We should definitely go on and discuss a little bit about what we think is going to be the next Pokemon game. What it's going to include. I feel like this is too shallow of a topic for me to discuss on the show. So like, this is a good place to do it. Because I saw this in chat the other day, and I thought it was really interesting because one of the people was chiming in and saying, "Oh, what do you think is going to happen in the new Pokemon game? Blah blah blah. I think it's going to be really cool." And he's just like, "I think it's going to just look just like Let's Go." I forget who said this. I really wish I could mention who said this, but I didn't.
But it's going to look like Let's Go, but you know, with shadows.
Yeah. Okay. So with shadows that are higher than 6 pixels, game. Right?
Guys mentioned it. There's a few rumors that pop out around. I don't believe in rumors anymore, especially Pokemon related. That it'll be somewhat like Breath of the Wild mixed with Pokemon Go.
I don't believe that. I
don't have my hopes.
I have a hard
my hopes
time
are
that.
Low on the ground. So when the
I wouldn't have low hopes. I wouldn't have low hopes. Kaneda said what I'm talking about. Yeah. And so the one thing that I think is really interesting though is, I mean, so like we're probably gonna get something from Let's Go. Like, we're gonna get the HD assets. Let's Go in my mind was honestly just, hey, we need a Pokemon game out this year because Papa Nintendo is breathing down my neck. And
yeah.
And Papa Nintendo is just like, oh hey, I need to get
We'd sell 20 million units.
Well, no, we said we'd sell 20 million units. We need to sell Pokemon. We said that there'd be a Pokemon game coming in 2018. And so they're just like, oh crap, well, we're designing this one. They're just like, okay, so we already had the map for Gen 1 done. We were already using it to like test our HD conversion into like coding in HD. So we already have like Kanto done. Like, let's just throw in some chibi characters. Let's use the Gen 1 Pokemon models. Let's go, right? And I think that's what happened, because there's so many reasons that Let's Go is not a finished game. So many reasons. The first of being, they're like, the shadows are like 7 pixels wide. And then on top of that, you have the party sprites. You know what I mean? The party sprites. Like half of them were redone, but the other half weren't. And it's semi random. Like, they did the starters. Are the final evos of the starters. They did Mewtwo, they did the legendary birds, and then it's just like peppered throughout. Like, I think Kabutops got one, but not Omastar. And
yeah, false prophets.
Yeah. It's very confusing which ones got the updated party sprite and which ones didn't. And it's just very random
of, we need to get this game out the door.
That's really what yesterday. It feels like. And I don't know that Let's Go is gonna be a steady franchise because of it.
Yeah, it most likely won't.
I think with 10 million sales, we're going to see a Gen 2 version. And this is one thing that I haven't said on the show. And this is one thing that I wasn't on the episode we discussed, that Remakes were discussed, so I didn't get my chance to say my piece, which is rare. but this is a Poco Live Show exclusive. I don't think that Remakes are going to be very straightforward right now. People are just like, where's my Gen 4 remake? And
yeah, they're in a very weird spot.
I don't know that we can say we're going to get a Gen 4 remake in the traditional sense that we think there's going to be a remake. Mostly because Let's Go exists now, right? This is the third time we've got Kanto. And I could definitely see it being where it cuts out remakes and we get Let's Go instead.
Like, this could be a controversial opinion, but I was never huge into the remakes. Like, my favorite game is Pokemon Ruby, not Omega Ruby. I feel like the only remake that was truly great was Heart Gold Soul Silver.
I think everybody would agree
would
with you.
Rather just see them re-release it on like the virtual console or eShop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree, but I also kind of disagree on the whole Ruby, Omega Ruby, because for me, Alpha Sapphire was like an extra to my experience for Gen 3. It wasn't for, something like replacing my Gen 3.
I liked the Delta episode. Like, I wish... Delta,
for me, Delta episode was like, we cannot remake Emerald, but we can add Emerald to both games at the same time and not do a third party.
Like, there's a lot of design decisions that I have problems with in Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. If you want, there's a 7-hour YouTube video on it.
I mean, I'm not saying, well, I can listen to that.
I was going to say, if anyone else has seen the 7-hour exhaustive Omega Ruby review in their recommended feeds.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to that whole thing at work one day, and I was like, wow, this person brings up some great points.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. No, there's like, I wouldn't say Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. I will say HeartGold SoulSilver were better remakes. Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire have their moments. I think they made Gen 3 better for me, but that's because I'm kind of... I don't fall for the nostalgia as hard as a lot of other people do, mostly because I've turned my mind to competitive play when other people haven't, obviously. Like if I'm doing a playthrough, like, I have minor competitive things in the background of my mind. Like, I try not to look at natures or I'll kill myself. And,
I agree so much. I'm in the middle of a Nuzlocke right now. I caught an Adamant Abra, and I'm like, this thing's worthless, unusable. I'm not going to use it.
Yeah, but so, like, I'm like that. So, like, the thing that gets me, like, I would love to go back and play Gen 3. Because I think, like, I have a lot of nostalgic, like, memories of playing Gen 3, and especially, like, Colosseum and XD, right? I have a lot of nostalgic moments there. But the problem is, if I do it, I go, man, the physical special split hasn't happened yet. All of these Pokemon are useless.
Yeah. I'm going to bring up one of my biggest gripes with competitive Pokemon. The biggest mistake ever made in Pokemon for competitive, in my opinion, happened in Gen 4.
What is that?
On one hand,
what is that?
I like the physical special split. It makes some Pokemon really good. It makes some Pokemon really bad. For me, I think it all comes out neutral. But the thing that I hate is the Choice Scarf. I think the Choice Scarf was a mistake.
I don't think so.
I'm actually fine with that.
I don't agree with you. I think if you take Choice Scarf out of competitive Pokemon, you make a lot of Pokemon no longer viable.
See, do you know what the problem is? The Choice Scarf isn't the problem, but it is the Band-Aid used to fix the actual problem that the physical special split ended up causing. The best example of this is Gyarados. When Gyarados got Dragon Dance in Gen 3, is like, okay, cool, have fun with your no stab attacks. It's not busted.
Mm-hmm.
But the second Gen 4 comes around, Gyarados clicks Dragon Dance once. If Choice Scarf does exist, the game's over.
I think that's fantastic.
They've won.
That's fantastic. Plus,
I think this is fantastic.
Scarfs lock you in one move, so
yeah.
No, Scarf is the fix for that.
No. So I understand what you're saying, but like, I think that's fantastic because it allows old Pokemon to still be relevant. It removes power creep, which I think is a huge issue in a lot of long running games.
Yeah, but Gyarados was already relevant. A lot of the old Pokemon would be relevant without a physical special split. It's just that.
So, but the problem is a lot of Pokemon became relevant.
They had. Oh, sorry. The movesets they had before were not designed with the physical special split in mind.
So once
it became a thing, like, for example, Gengar suddenly got weirdly way worse because it lost all the elemental punches. Like, it has Shadow Ball now.
I don't agree with you.
Agree with you with the Gengar.
Gengar was very good.
Oh, no, it was still very good. That was a bad example in hindsight. I guess a better example would be Alakazam.
Alakazam's still really good, too. Like, that's the problem. Like, yeah. It's still very good. I'm sorry that all of, like, the elemental punches on Alakazam aren't there. I think that would be broken as heck right now if that were a thing now. I think that because it actually it ends up reducing Alakazam's coverage and stuff like that. Like Mac Mighty just said in the chat, he said, I like choice items. It adds another piece of the puzzle. And I do agree with that because it allows things to exceed, like, it's like exceeding your power limit, right, in Dragon Ball Z. And
yeah. Ray Rush.
I think that's the big thing. It's kind of like doing that.
See, I like choice items because they're super fun, but I don't like that they had to exist because the physical special split broke old Pokemon in ways that they weren't supposed to be broken in.
I don't
agree. Best example being Dragon Dance.
I don't agree with that.
If I go with that mental state, I'll be saying the same thing with Aviolite.
Also, Dragon Dance is on such a limited number of Pokemon, by the way. I don't know if you realize this. Dragon Dance is not that many Pokemon.
Wishcash?
It's on Wishcash, yeah. Like
it, see, it's on a weirdly limited number of Pokemon because it has to be now.
It always was, though. That's the thing. Like
It always was.
So let me give you a list of Pokemon that... Let me give you a list of Pokemon that you can learn Dragon Dance. So first of all, it's Horsea, Seadra, Gyarados, Dragonite, Kingdra, Flygon. Flygon just got it recently.
Yeah, Flygon did not have it.
Flygon just got it, sadly. And then, of course, you have Latios, Rayquaza, Haxorus, Zygarde, Komo-o. Those are like it. And then by breeding, you can get it on your Charmander. You can get it on your Lapras.
Totodile,
Larvitar, Corphish for funsies.
Urbagon, I always forget Corphish gets Dragon Dance.
Scraggy and Tyrant.
Yeah.
And that's about it. Like, it's a very limited pool of Pokemon that get it. I mean, you could say the same thing, though, about pretty much any speed plus, like, attack or speed plus anything else kind of ability. It's on limited number of Pokemon.
Quiverdance is, like, 5-6 Pokemon that learn Quiverdance.
Yeah, but that's Quiverdance was designed after the physical special split. I feel like more Pokemon would have had Quiverdance if it was made in Gen 3.
If you really want to complain about like items making the game worse, which isn't true. I'd say
the item is making the game better.
It is, absolutely.
But I'm kind of sad it has to exist.
It doesn't have to exist.
Mm. But could you imagine a meta without Choice Scarf now?
Yes.
Yes, I can.
It seems like it'd be over in... Every team would be hyper offense and just be the team that gets...
That's almost what's happening now.
Yeah. I guess like Scarf... Kartana is a good example of just inbuilt Dragon Dance.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, but I don't think it makes the game broken or it's necessary. I think there's other ways to do what it did.
I liked the metagame back when speed was a stat that mattered as a base stat.
It does still matter as a base stat. I don't think you're qualified to make this statement.
No, this is unfair. This is gaslighting. It still does matter, obviously, but I like base speed as a concept where even weird things like Crobat, Jolteon, like the things that honestly only have speed, they're far less relevant than they would be otherwise because of Scarf. Although I guess Power Creep is starting to come full circle on that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm not too worried about it. I think the
strong
game
enough
is doing
that Scarf
fine.
Doesn't matter.
I mean, if you want to talk about one item that makes the game arguably worse, I think the answer is Eviolite.
That's so untrue. That Eviolite does not make the game worse. Chansey makes the game worse.
I'm not mad at Chansey using it.
I'm not thinking about Chansey. I'm thinking more like Dusclops. That is like...
Yes. I think Dusclops was ruined because of Eviolite.
Do you want a world that sponges almost anything? Even a few dark moves? You want Dusclops.
Going the other way around of you don't play enough low tiers because Dusclops is no longer seen as better than Dusknoir, mainly because they're both virtually unplayable, but Dusknoir has background being better than Dusclops. Because Dusclops is just so passive.
Slightly better. I mean, it gets to pretend to have recovery.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think it's just like it gets to pretend. Yes. Let's see what Rotted said. Think about it though. Look at the newer pre-Evos, and their stats are generally really bad, so they can't abuse Eviolite. I mean, yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't know. They put themselves in a box. That's the problem I have with it. I mean, they put themselves in a box design wise
to get over chip damage or the point I'm trying to get. Violite is really most useful for Pokemon that have high HP, which is why Chansey is a nightmare. Yes,
that's true. I do agree with you. I do agree with you. HP is a huge stat. I mean, I don't want to get too deep into that, but yes. Also, Quiver Dance is on more Pokemon than I thought it was on.
It's on like every terrible bug.
Did you know that Wormadam has access to Quiver Dance?
What?
Because I did not know that until today.
I always forget that's a thing.
What?
Wormadam and Mothim both get Quiver Dance.
Definitely drafting Wormadam for the PDL now, just so that I can come through with Quiver Dance Wormadam.
And then also one Pokemon that will never ever use Quiver Dance has access to it. Pheromosa never will use Quiver Dance. Why would you ever use Quiver Dance on Pheromosa?
I use it.
That's good.
I use
why?
It sometimes.
Its base speed is like 151. Why would you ever need
it?
It
can be faster than things with Choice Scarf.
Dad, and I'm a bad boy. I run my mix Pheromosa. I don't go.
That's
full
not
physical,
a bad thing to
special.
Do. It has base 137 attack and a special attack. It's not. That's not
you
a bad
give
thing
it
to do.
Max HP, max defense, and you run rest, sleep, talk, quiver dance.
Quiver dance, Pheromosa. That's the right way to play it, right?
Like, Pheromosa. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we talking about Snorlax or Pheromosa?
Those base 37 defenses, they do really well.
No, they don't.
Yeah,
listen, can we just actually talk about the most grievous injustice ever put to light in Pokemon?
What is it?
Wow, Mega Dragon Fairy type?
Almost. But back in Gen 6, they had the most wonderful, the most illuminating, brilliant idea. We can just give more stats to bad old Pokemon. I love that. They should do it more.
Mega
but then
evolution?
They're like, Butterfree, you get 10 more points. Beedrill, you get 10 more points. Beautifly, you get 10 more points. Dustox, get out of here. Go home.
Nobody cares about Dustox, okay?
No.
Dustox has never mattered and never will. Okay.
Beautifly got a stat buff and Dustox did not. I will never not be bitter about this.
You should be bitter about it. Who cares? It's still a bug.
Just give it 20 more HP, 20 more defense, and then I'll actually run Crow Dustox.
No, I'm not.
I used that in Gen 5 NU, and it was great.
I'm not playing this game anymore.
No.
Does anybody else in the chat have anything else they want us to talk about so I can get off of 10 little men complaining that competitive Pokemon's not the same anymore?
Yeah. Why can't they go back to the good old days? Why can't we go back to Gen 2 meta where everything just held leftovers and never died?
That sounds like a fun meta. Sounds like a good old meta for you.
Well, yeah, back in the good old days, eh?
Yeah. Should I read your Puckle survey responses live on the air?
Yeah, I thought those were anonymous.
They're definitely.
How could
anonymous.
You tell which one was mine?
I think you say your name is 10 Little Men in it at some point. Like, I'm not gonna.
I'm pretty sure I do too.
I wouldn't be a surprise.
I think at some point in one of your answers, you just go, "Oh, my name's 10 Little Men, and I want to be super critical of your show, Thatch," and then you make me feel bad on the inside.
Ironically, Patreon chat is 3 people right now. General chat on Discord is like,
oh, it's bumping because it's Battle Clinic night, man.
Ooh.
Oh yeah,
it's Battle Clinic, man. Battle Clinic's about to happen. For those of you here live, we're going to be doing the Little Cup Battle Clinic at 8:30 tonight. You can jump on over to the Battle Clinic thing and sign up if you haven't already.
Don't be afraid of jumping to general voice chat.
Yeah, general voice chat is a great time.
We don't eat.
I love doing it. Also,
Twitch
for those of you
chat is telling you to read the surveys.
Reading the surveys. Well, I'm going to do a town hall, I believe, on the 17th. On the 17th, I believe. The 18th. I'm going to do it the 18th. I'm doing a town hall on the 18th of February. Where you guys can come in and I'm going to go through the surveys. You can give me some feedback on the surveys and some of your answers. I can give you feedback because there are some somewhat annoying survey responses. And not saying that I don't appreciate surveys being filled out, because I absolutely do. I just want to make it clear. This show is actually going to come out on the 21st. So this is going to be after this town hall anyway. But, one of the big things that I see that I want to give real time feedback for is because some people would be like, oh man, I wish you could do XYZ with the show, but it's something that's very physically impossible, right? It'll be like, oh man, I wish the show could be have a 45-minute topic segment. And
no.
In a perfect world, maybe. But also in this world, it's impossible to keep the conversation going that long without somebody having to pee or me being able to talk for 45 minutes. About a specific topic.
People getting hungry. I wanted to eat something.
Well, that's not usually an issue because we're
even just falling off topic.
Yeah, that happens a lot. That's the thing. A 45-minute segment is just that's the length of a normal podcast, right? If you go listen to other podcasts, some of them are only 45 minutes. We're an hour and a half.
Half an hour.
We're an hour and a half long show. It's a really long show, and that makes it feel okay when when people don't listen to the whole show, because I know this is very true that people don't listen to the whole show. I know a lot of people will stop at the Pokemon of the episode segment. Actually, that's something I should ask you guys about and get some real time feedback for. We've just started changing the Pokemon of the episode topic segment. I don't know if you've paid attention to the limit in the past 2 weeks.
Oh yeah. I've been paying attention.
Or you as well, Dennis. But how does that
I
make
haven't
you
heard,
feel?
Oh,
see, there's a kid who doesn't listen to the whole show right there. Boom.
No, I haven't heard this last episode. I listened to it virtually completely. I usually jump off is on the mailbag.
Yeah, so the Pokemon of the episode, we've completely reformatted it. Well, not completely, but we've reformatted it to the point where we're trying to give each Pokemon a little bit more context. I don't think it's perfect yet. We're getting there. We're working on it.
So far, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
We're getting there. It's not. It's definitely. I think it's better than it was.
And, it is.
And Ten Little Man is my biggest critic. I need to know.
Listen, you told me to be critical. I'm just obliged, and I'm gonna say it's still better for sure.
We're working on making it better because I want to be able to talk about it in context, and most of the TCG cards suck, and so we kind of just threw that out the window.
Yeah, see, the issue with the TCG cards is, 90% of the time they suck. Or it's this thing was super relevant in the TCG 15 years ago, but you can't be expected to know the entire history of the TCG.
Exactly. I think it's better the way we're doing it. For those of you who haven't listened to it and are listening to this show, I would suggest if you listen to Puckle and you don't listen to Pokemon the Episode, or you turn it off there because you think Thatch is a garbage person and shouldn't make the last half hour of the show. Which is also a valid reasoning, but I would suggest that you go and you read that, or you go listen to the newer ones from 374 on, because we are trying something new where you get team analyses and stuff like that built into it. We also give away a team now every week. I have a guy now that just his job is to build teams for every week. There's a guy for that, so that we have a team, and we'll give away the teams. You have to go to the website to get that though. Mm-hmm. You have to go to the website pucklepodcast.com to be able to get the full team.
This Thatch guy may not be the most correct about his opinions on the meta, but he knows a guy who knows a guy, and that's how you get the good teams.
me and another guy work together every week to build a team. It's mostly him, but I'll give him feedback. I'll go and play with it every week, right? I'm a decent pilot when it comes to Pokemon. My team building skills have definitely gone down, but I'm a very
oh god, my team building skills are the most horrific thing.
I'm definitely a good pilot.
Never been good.
I will say I'm a good pilot. And so, like, whenever I play with a team that somebody builds and, like, they're trying to test, I can pick out, like, oh, hey, this isn't going to work because of XYZ. And, like, I can go and I can make adjustments, right? But when it, because, like, last week's, well, not last week, but 2 weeks ago, we did MagnaZone. And so we built this MagnaZone team. And the MagnaZone team is just got this huge weakness to fire types. Like, it got me comfortably to, like, 1450 on the ladder. And then the problem is, like, you get there and then Volcarona and Victini show up. And Volcarona and Victini just destroyed that team.
MagnaZone teams as a magnet aficionado, I can tell you they struggle with fire often.
So you could, so I don't think the problem was MagnaZone per se. I think MagnaZone is, I said this in the show on 375. MagnaZone is pretty big in that if you really, really hate Ferrothorn, you really, really hate Kartana, and you really, really hate, what's the other one? Scizor. If you really, really hate those, and you're tired of dealing with them by, like, hitting them with, like, a close combat or trying to hit them with a focus blast, if you're really tired of that, I think MagnaZone is for you.
Like, MagnaZone is really good at what it does.
Yeah, I think MagnaZone is for you because MagnaZone completely walls those Pokemon and gives you a very easy way to HP fire them. So
speaking of MagnaZone, I have one last rant to make about why the changing meta was a good thing, although it made me sad. Dragmag is the funnest playstyle that does not work because of fairy types.
I'm okay with that. Like fairy type.
Oh no, it's
fairy type
the correct
was such a good
option. Fairy type was dearly necessary, but I'll really miss not being able to throw on MagnaZone and 5 dragon types and call it a day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That sounds awful.
So it really was.
I guess that's where I'll end it. I'll also end it with, I know that I've looked at the survey responses so far, and I think it was like the 30% of you that said that Puckle was not long enough for you. I am sorry that I can't give you more. but if you do want to check out more Puckle Guys, of course you can check out the main show, or you can keep subscribed to this channel at Puckle Plus. We really do appreciate that. Of course, go to PucklePodcast.com to see some cool articles. We're working on the show or on the website as well, trying to make it look a little bit prettier at the same time. So we really do appreciate that. I don't know if there's usually anything else. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Reddit. You can, of course, also, if you are like cool like
join
these guys,
the Discord.
Yeah, join the Discord. But if you're also cool like these guys, join our Patreon at patreon.com/PucklePodcast, where you can donate to the show and get some cool rewards, including possibly being on this show at Puckle Live, where we can have a cool discussion and conversation. And then, of course, if you want to help the show out in other ways, like Viger just did on this, you can use your Twitch Prime subscription on us, and we really appreciate it. Or you could just do a subscription at the same time, though I would say Patreon is probably the better way to do it.
It is the better way.
And then you can also support the show by going to our awesome Tee Public store, where you can buy everything Puckle, everything Pokemon over there. We really do appreciate the support. Also, don't forget that on this channel as well, you can, on this feed, you can check out TCG Cast, Battlecast, which is should have a semi-regular schedule now, because I'm putting Seth Vilo kind of in charge of it. So he's going to help keep it on track.
Hopefully.
So Battlecast is going to be doing well. And then, of course, you have Game Corner as well on this channel. So we really do appreciate it. So this has been Puckle Live with Thatch, Ten the Lament, and Dennis the Mimicky Maniac. Until next time, guys, though, here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower after hours, because that's the only way we can get these guys in here. It's closing time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.